Amen. Boy, that was good. I appreciate that. Barry and Sarah, what a blessing. Good song. Wow. It's exciting. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Of course, next week we will have our Shepherd's Sunday, and always look forward to that. And that's just going to be a good time. The whole platform will be filled with those in our Shepherd's Ministry. And they'll sing some special songs and give some scripture. And you never know what they're going to do, really. It'll be a blessing. And I hope you'll pray about that. We always want to see some of their relatives, some of the folks that are close to them also come and watch them and then stick around and hear some preaching. And so that's always a great, great thing. So pray about that, and I trust that you will. And the Lord will bless, as He always does on that special day. Proverbs 24, and we just read verses 15 to 18. You'll notice in verse 15, it says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." And here we have a situation where a wicked person is actually waiting, and the idea that he's trying to trip up the righteous person. He's right there at the house. He's waiting there and trying to trip him up, trying to get him in trouble. But I love what it says in verse 16. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." In other words, okay, you may get him to stumble. You may get him to fall, but he's going to get up. Because he's a just man. He's a guy that wants to do right. We've been talking about the people of Proverbs, and we come into a lot of these verses, and I think, boy, that I need to preach on that, and I need to preach on that, and I need to preach on that, and I need to preach on that. And it was just hard to get away from this. We're talking about the righteous man. We've talked about the wicked man, and now we're talking, obviously, about the righteous man. And here's somebody who wants to do right. Here's somebody that God says they fall seven times. He's going to fall seven times, but he's going to rise up again. He said, "All right, wicked man, if you want to attack him, all right, devil, if you want to get after him, okay, I understand you will, but and you may get him. He may fall. He may trip. He may stumble. He may mess up." We do mess up. We all do. Everybody does. But he's going to get up. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, and it's wonderful that God enables us to get up. It's wonderful that the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I want to talk to you this morning on how to fall and not fail. Father, I pray you'll bless, you'll speak to our hearts, you'll give us what we need from your word today. I pray that you'll help anyone here who's not saved. Lord, I pray they would trust Christ. They would realize they need Jesus in their heart and their life for salvation. And I pray you'll help Christians also, Lord. Help us to realize that we do fall, but I pray that we would also realize we don't have to fail. So please speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. By Tim's own confession, he fell. He fell. He listed the wrong numbers on the back of the bulletin. He fell. But he will not fail because he's already corrected it, at least in our hearts and our minds. No one is going to be devastated by it. No, I'm just kidding. We do fall. We mess up. Everybody here does. There's not a person in this room that, you say, "Well, I'm perfect." I've talked about that. There are some that actually believe that. And all you'd have to do is take a Bible and show them that is not true. There is no perfect flesh on this earth. And here the wicked one is trying to trip up a person. Here the wicked one is trying to even be at their dwelling place and try to get him to trip up. Listen, the devil try to get you to trip up at home. He'll try to get you to trip up at work. He'll try to get you to trip up among your family. And it doesn't matter. I mean, he really wants us to mess up, and he wants us to trip. But thank God, the Bible says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." The blessing of being a Christian, the blessing of serving God, is that, yes, he understands that we fall, but he knows that we don't have to fail. And nobody here has to fail. You may fall, and we do fall, but you do not ever have to fail. Everybody falls at one time. In fact, one of the key elements of success and growth in our lives is that we do fall. And I've always said, you know, I made a mistake, but I want to learn from it. It'd be a waste of time to go through whatever I went through if I don't gain something from it. And certainly, if you fell, you ought to learn from that. You ought to learn some of the tactics of the wicked one here. You ought to learn how to spot when he's laying a trap. You ought to learn how to spot. Boy, don't you see that as a Christian? Don't you see when he's trying to, you know, he's got a pit dug and he tries to cover it over and he wants you to fall in it. Bless God, though, if you do fall, if you do mess up, thank God you don't have to fail. You do not ever have to be a failure. You show me someone who is a success and I'll show you that he fell down a few times. You take a little baby, and as they get older and they learn how to walk, they're going to fall a lot of times. Just watch them. And it's kind of hilarious to watch them, you know, and thank God for all the padding they have. But, they'll toddle around, and they'll fall. Boom. And then they'll look around, and if you're looking at them and you look pitiful, they'll scream. Otherwise, they just get up and go on. But everybody wants a little sympathy. And sure enough, you know, all those times they fall, but then they get bigger and they get stronger and they try enough times and finally they get up and they walk. And you know what? As a child of God, as a Christian, understand this, you're going to fall. But you don't have to fail. You never have to fail. 2 points and we'll be done. Number one is there are those who fell and failed. They fell and failed. Saul is one example. I've been reading a lot about Saul. Saul, of course, was chosen to be the king. The people wanted a king. They didn't want God to be their king. They wanted a man to be their king. And so God said, I'll let you have a king. I'll let you have some flesh as your king. God said, I want to be your king. I would like to be your king. But the people said, no. We need to look at somebody. We need to have flesh as our king. And God said, okay, you can have Saul as your king. Isn't it amazing when Goliath challenged the armies of Israel? You know, Goliath, the big giant. Saul was the biggest guy, the tallest guy. He's the king, but he was scared of Goliath. You know, that's what flesh always will do. God said, I want to be your king. God said, let me be your king. Oh, no, we want a man to be our king. And Saul, he wouldn't even go out and fight Goliath. He let David go fight Goliath. And we know the story and how David won. But Saul disobeyed God. And he fell. And he fell drastically when he disobeyed God. But you know what? Even Saul would not have had to be a failure. But then he goes and he visits a witch to try to talk to Samuel. And you know the story. He not only fell, but he failed. How sad that is. Every time I read about Saul and I think of the potential that he had, you know, I think about the fact that he not only fell, and he fell several times, but he ended up failing. Now listen to me. You don't have to fall and fail. You're going to fall, but don't fail. Then I think about Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests, and they had a great opportunity to serve. They had a great opportunity to do right, but they fell, and they kept falling, and they eventually failed. And they failed God, they failed the people. Other examples, Absalom, who became bitter because of sin. And let me tell you something, whenever there's sin, there's going to be some bitterness. Hello? You know, we all have this idea, well, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, let me tell you do your own thing, somebody is going to pay for your own thing. And somebody could be an Absalom who is sitting there watching you do your own thing, as Absalom had to watch Amnon rape their sister, and Absalom had to deal with that, and he did not deal with it well, and he became bitter in his heart, and he became a murderer, and he challenged his own father David, and Absalom, he not only fell, and he fell several times, but he failed. And of course, we see him at the end of his story, we see him hanging by his beautiful long hair from a tree, and he's hanging there with 3 darts in his heart, dead. He fell, and he fell, and he fell, and he failed in his life. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they attacked the man of God. They fell, and they also failed. We know the story of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all look at, I can't believe he would do that. How many of us in this room have betrayed Jesus just this last week? But the problem with Judas was not that he fell. He could have gotten up. He could have been like the just man in verse 16, and the trap was laid for Judas, but Judas fell, and he fell, and he fell, and he never got up. He just failed. And we see him, the last thing we see about Judas in the Bible, he's committing suicide, killing himself. He failed. He fell, and he also failed. But I don't want to talk about that so much, and there are many, many other examples, and we know people like that that fell and fell and fell, and they failed. But I want to talk to you about number two, and that's those that fell, but they didn't fail. They fell, but they didn't fail. And you know, the Bible is loaded with examples of people, and I'm just going to give you a few of them, of people that fell, but they didn't fail. You know, it's our heroes. It's our heroes. And I'm not telling you, go out here and mess up so that we can talk about you someday. I'm just telling you this, you don't have to be a failure. Nobody has to be a failure. Nobody has to fall so many times. You say, well, I just can't get up. You can always get up. God says a just man falleth seven times. Seven is always talking about perfection in the Bible. And I don't think it's just limited to seven times. I think it's saying you can always get up. I believe that you can always get up and you can go on and you don't have to end up as a failure ever. Ever. We know the story of Abraham. You study your Bible, and Abraham was a great man of God. Hebrews 11, it indicates that Abraham was a faithful man. And he was a man that he was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. Great, great example of that willingness. But we also know in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham became afraid. We know in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham lied. Look at it, if you will. Genesis 12 and verse 10. Let's go ahead and read this. It's not the most familiar passage, but it is one that many do know. Genesis 12 and verse 10. And again, I just want to show you. Here's a fella that many of us would say, hey, this guy's my hero. Abraham is, you know, he's my hero. He's a great guy. Well, look at him. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. It came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold now, watch this, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. By the way, fellas, always say that to your wife. Amen. All right, verse 12. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And again, that led to all kinds of possibilities of sin taking place. And Abraham, he was afraid. And so he stretched things just a little bit. And he wanted to stretch things to get himself out of trouble. But again, he fell. And he messed up. By the way, he did the same thing again in Genesis chapter 20. And he fell. And we look at Abraham, we say, good night. I mean, Abraham, he's my hero. How could he mess up? We all mess up. From right here all the way back, there's not one that hadn't messed up. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves, the Bible says. Time to be honest, folks. We fall, but we don't have to fail. I'm just saying, there's not a person in this room that hasn't fallen at one time or another. And let me tell you about Abraham. Abraham goes on, and though he lied, though he deceived, though it was a terrible thing that he did, and could have led to all kinds of immorality taking place. I'm just telling you, in chapter 22, he does exactly what God says when God says, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham does exactly what God says. He's no longer afraid of things that he doesn't understand. He says, God, I trust you and I believe you. And we see it as he takes his son Isaac and offers him. But God provides a sacrifice so that Abraham... Like I said recently as I preached on this, God was not looking for a dead Isaac. God was looking for a living Abraham. He wanted to see, is Abraham really willing? The point I'm trying to make is, Abraham was a sinner and he fell. And you and I are sinners and we fall. But Abraham, the reason he's your hero today, the reason you say, wow, look at Abraham, the reason it's in Hebrews 11 that he's such a great man of faith is because he decided, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to stay down. Yes, I was afraid. Yes, I didn't trust God like I should have trusted God. Could we all say that at times? Could you say that about your, well, no, I'm just the epitome of faith. Yeah, well, I don't know, are you? I'm just saying, hey, listen to me. He got up. He got up and he kept going. Just like the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Hey, wicked person, go ahead, lay your trap, lay your snare. He will. And I may fall, but I've decided I'm getting up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go on. Abraham. How about Moses? Moses is the same thing. You know, Moses, what a great opportunity Moses had. But Moses fell, but he didn't fail. And again, in Hebrews 11, we see that Moses is a great man of faith. He was in the palace of Pharaoh, and he chose his own people. He could have stayed with Egypt. He could have stayed with the world. He could have done all those things. But I've got news for you. Before all of that took place, Moses isn't much of a hero. Look, if you will, at Exodus 2, verse 11. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. And he's not too much of a hero here. It says, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, then he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Wow. Moses? Yeah, Moses. Moses murdered somebody? Look what it says in verse 13. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. He said to him, what? He said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thy fellow? He said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? Whoa, what a terrible testimony. You know, here Moses is going to lead the people, but he's already discouraged the people by murdering an Egyptian. Isn't it amazing that God would use Moses? Moses is the one that stood at the Red Sea, raised the rod of God, and parted the Red Sea. I mean, that's Moses. But he fell. You say, I just don't think I could ever do anything for God. Moses did something for God. You say, you don't understand. I've done some things I shouldn't have done. And there's not a person in this room that hasn't done some things they shouldn't have done. Hello. Amen. Every one of us. Everybody here. Do not look down your long, pious nose and look down at people that, well, they're doing. Listen to me. They can fall and fall and fall and fall and fall, but you never have to fail. You never have to fail. I look at Moses and I think, praise the Lord, for here's a guy that actually, he had been involved in the murder of a man, and some could say, well, you know, he was supposed to do all that and everything. I don't believe that. I'm just telling you this, he fell several times, but he became a great man of God and a great leader of God's people, and God used him. Satan, one of his biggest lies is he'll get you to fall into the muddy pit, and you come out all muddy, and then he'll say, well, now you're useless. I don't know how many people have said to me, you know, I cannot ever do anything for God because I'm all dirty and I'm all muddy. Hey, Jesus will clean you up. And all you've got to do is you've got to get up and you've got to go to Him and say, oh God, clean me up. He does that with salvation. He does it in our lives. What about Samson? I always liked the story of Samson. I just read it recently again and got all excited about Samson. You know, Samson, he had a real hard time with the women, you know. I mean, he really did. And every time it just seems like as you read the Bible, there was a woman. You know, pity on women that are trying to make men fall. How sad that is. You know, who would name their daughter Delilah? You know, there's some names you just avoid, like Jezebel. Hello? You know, I kid around and say, you know, hey, name your child Poindexter. I'll give you $5. I tried to give the Waters $5 if they'd name their son Poindexter. They wouldn't. I say, how about Throckmorton? They wouldn't. I guarantee you, I'm not even going to offer anything on a Jezebel. I'm not going to offer anything on a Delilah. You know, oh, Delilah, oh, she's wicked. Yeah. Yeah, I understand all that. And Samson, well, he just went after that guy. He fell several times. And we read it in the Bible, and it's almost like, you know, every time I read, I say, no, don't do it, Samson. Don't look at her batting her eyes, you know, her eyelids, and her eyelashes are flashing at him. Samson, don't look. Samson, stay away. It's like some of you guys with pornography. Hello. Well, some of you girls, too. You know, it's like, hey, stay away. It's going to rip your life out. I'll never forget. I was preaching in Flint, Michigan. And a fella came in and dressed real nice. And I was preaching a message. He came forward. He wept at the altar. And later on, I said, listen, I'd like to visit with you. And he gave me his address. And I didn't really think anything of it. And sure enough, I got to looking at the address. And it was in one of the worst parts of Flint. Terrible, terrible neighborhood. And I thought, man, that guy looked, he looked dressed nice. He looked like he was a working man. And I thought, you know, surely this guy, there is no way in the world. I wonder what he's doing living there. So my wife and I went to visit him. And sure enough, the place was a dump. I mean, it was terrible. And I started talking to him and I said, listen, I said, you don't really fit in with where you live. And big old tears started streaming down his cheeks. He said, oh, he said, you don't understand. He said, I worked at and he named the place, and he said, I was making $100,000 a year and had a wife and three kids. And he said, I started looking at pornography. He said, I've lost it all. I mean, his story, it was just unbelievable. He said, I've lost my wife. I've lost my kids. I've lost my job. I've lost everything I ever had. Because I couldn't quit looking at that stuff. That's what happened to Samson. Are you listening? Now, God, I mean, it was very obvious with Samson. You know what? Listen, when the Philistines got him because of Delilah, they took a red-hot steel poker and put it in each of his eyes and literally burnt his eyes out of the sockets. He would never look at a pretty woman again. Huh? He lost it all. And he fell. Boy, I read Samson. I think, what a, you know, he's such a great guy. I like it. I see him taking that jawbone of the donkey and killing 1,000 Philistines. I see him literally breaking the ropes off. And boy, people say, wow, look at this guy. But it's so hard to see him there with his eyes gone and see him pushing around that circle, that mill where the Philistines put him, and then putting him out in the Colosseum to make fun of him. A man that was at one time a man of God. But he fell. But I love it in the scripture where it says his hair began to grow again. I always reach up and think, maybe. I guess not. But old Samson reached up one day. Can you just see him? You know, one day he just reached up and the Bible says his hair began to grow again. And one more time he says, God, I don't want to be a failure. Please don't let me die a failure, God. I've lost my eyes. I've lost everything I have. Let me one more time. One more time, God. Give me one more opportunity. Isn't it great God does that for us? Isn't it wonderful that it's not the end just because you're down today? Isn't it great you can get up? The just man rises 7 times and it doesn't have to be over for the Christian. And old Samson got up and those guys are making fun of him. Everybody's mocking him. Oh, look at the Christian, you know. And he said to one of the midgets, he said, put me in the main pillars of the Colosseum. And he got in between those things and God gave him power one more time. And he pushed those pillars down. The Colosseum fell. And the Bible says he slew more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And I'm just saying, you know, he fell many, many times. And you see him there without his eyes and you think, what a failure. Oh, listen to me. His greatest success was because he got up. His greatest success was after he'd fallen so far, but he got up. Listen, do not stay down. Get up. Get up. Elijah is another one. What a great man of God. In James chapter 5, the Bible says he is one of the great examples of a man of prayer. And we know how he prayed and how often he prayed. But I want you to look at 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And verse 4. And again, another story that a lot of times we don't talk about. I like the honesty of the Word of God. I like the fact that God shows exactly what happened. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. You know, God makes it very, very clear. He shows us, and He shows us failures or people who've fallen. And He shows all of that to us. 1 Kings 19. Here's Elijah. Here's this great man of God. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Here's the man of God. Here's the man of God who has just had a great victory. And he's saying, "I'd just soon die." Verse 9. "And he came thither under a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" Hey, Elijah, get up. That's what he's saying. Get up. "He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. Boo-hoo! And they seek my life to take it away.'" Here's the guy that called down fire from heaven. Here's the guy that just defeated the false religions. Here's the guy that's just seen the power of God, but there he is now saying, "Oh, Jezebel's after me. Ahab's after me. There's no Christians around. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms." I mean, seriously, it's unbelievable, you know? I mean, just before that, he's the guy that took, in the drought, he took the barrels of water and poured them on the altar. You know, in the middle of a drought. He's the guy that stood up against the prophets of Baal. Here's a great guy, and yet he falls. And boy, he's really down here. And you think, well, I guess that's it with Elijah. But it's not it. He got up. Praise God, he got up. He got up. And sometimes we do forget how great God is. And sometimes we do kind of have a pity party for ourselves. And sometimes we whine a little bit. And sometimes we may even gripe a little bit. But listen to me, it's time to get up. It's time to understand that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I like it later on, the one he feared, Ahab. The other one he feared, Jezebel. He said to Ahab, he said, "You know what? Dogs are going to lick your blood." And he said to Jezebel, "You know what? They're going to eat you." He fell, but he had the final victory. That's what I'm saying. I don't know when it's over. I think Jesus is coming soon. I'm excited about that. I'm just saying, if you're down right now, if the enemy has come and they've plotted and they've dug the pit and you fell in that, get up. Get up. Hey, Christian, throw them a rope. Amen. Throw them a ladder. Get them out of there. Get up. Because you can fall, but you don't have to fail. David fell. We know the story. He fell to lust. He gave in to his lust, just like Samson. And we know the story. And you know, the Bible is always true. You reap what you sow. Always. God said, "David, the sword will never depart." And David paid over and over and over in his life. Do not ever think you're going to sin and there not be ramifications of that sin. It never happens that way. But you never have to stay down. And David, even though he suffered and he had scars from the sin that he committed, even though he fell, he got up. And Psalm 51 has helped countless people over and over and over again. "God, renew me. God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Oh, and how many times do we go to Psalm 51? How many times do we read it and think of David? And how David had so much potential, and how David did so many great things, and how God was going to use him, but he fell. But he didn't have to be a failure. And he went on and he got right with God and he didn't fail. Peter fell. He denied Christ. We all know the story. Look at Luke 22, verse 54. The book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 54. Here's another one that fell, but he didn't fail. Luke 22, 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. That was his first problem. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." Can you believe that? Can you believe Peter would say that? I can't imagine. Peter, who said, "I'll die for you." Peter is denying. He said, I don't know him. After a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Jesus had told him that's what was going to happen. He said, "I won't deny you. I'll never deny you." But he did. He did. He fell. He fell. Now, notice who he was hanging around. Notice he followed Jesus afar off. And you know, peer pressure gets a lot of people, especially in our world. It's just not politically correct to talk about Jesus in a positive way. It's not politically correct to give God the glory and give God the praise. I mean, I don't agree with people playing sports on Sunday and missing church, but I always like it whenever some sportsman or some athlete gives God the glory. I always get a kick out of the newscaster who tries to get away, you know. Some of these college players, and several are Christians, and I always get a kick out of when they interview them, and it's almost like they're cringing when they ask, what do you attribute the game to? And they say, "I just want to thank God." And every now and then one of them will say, "I want to thank Jesus Christ." And I always get a kick out of it because they're trying to edit that and get it out of there before we hear it. It's just not popular nowadays, huh? It's not, and certainly as Jesus is being taken away as a prisoner, it wasn't popular to stand with him. And Peter fell. And he gave in to the peer pressure of that time. And he denied the Lord. But you know, he fell, but he got up. He fell. He was ashamed, perhaps, of Jesus, or afraid of what might happen to him. But he got up. And you know, in his getting up, he also was martyred. And when he was crucified, historians say that he said, "Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." See, he fell, but boy, he got things right, didn't he? You say, "You don't understand, I'm a mess." Well, I understand the one who can make something out of a mess, because he did with me. And I look around this room, and we're just all, we come from a mess. Everybody. There isn't anybody here, "Well, I was saved when I was a little child, and I've just always done right." But you haven't always done right. How do you know that? Because the Bible says we're all sinners. Yeah, you may not have gotten your life as messed up as other folks did, but falling is falling. And failing is failing. And you don't have to fail. You don't have to fail. I love the story of Peter. He fell, but he didn't fail. The other disciples did the same thing. Look, if you will, at Mark 14. And I'm just about done. Mark 14 and verse 50. The other disciples were the same way. Can you imagine later on when they all got together? "Well, I can't believe you. Well, I can't." There wasn't really anything they could say. Right? It's kind of refreshing, isn't it? That when all our staff gets together, we can tease Tim a little bit about the bulletin. But really, I mean, we've all messed up. I mean, Kelvin, there's no way Kelvin could get after him too much. He's messed up big time. Huh? So we kind of kid around because we can laugh about it because there isn't any of us perfect. And we're all flesh. We all come from dirt. No dirt's better than any other dirt. That's why, to me, racial issues are foolish. Yeah, it doesn't matter what color the dirt is. We're just all dirt, right? If it's darker dirt than lighter dirt, it's just dirt. My dirt's better than your dirt. Really? You know, did you know that dirt that was formed right here in the United States isn't any better than dirt that was formed over in England? My dirt's royalty. It's dirt. Add water equals mud. We're all the same, folks. And imagine the disciples and they say, Peter, you let us down. And he said, where were you? He says, let's get out our Bibles. I'll show you where you were. Mark 14, verse 50. They all forsook him and fled. Every one of them. Huh? But you know what? Other than Judas, they all stood for him. Later on. I mean, when they forsook him and fled, can you imagine the enemy was I'm sure, saying, look, we've got them all. They've all fallen. But they got up. Isn't it wonderful that he helps us up? Isn't it wonderful the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but as he's rising up, there's one behind him who's lifted him up? Isn't it wonderful that one that lifts us up also strengthens us? Isn't it wonderful that one that lifts us up and strengthens us also teaches us and guides us so that we don't fall that way again and says, I'll teach you through how you fell so you can succeed the next time. Yeah, all the disciples, they all did. But boy, we see their power, don't we? Peter preaching at Pentecost and the power of the early church. And they all stood for him eventually. You know the fellow named Mark. Acts chapter 15. I like this. Acts chapter 15. Interesting little passage. And there are so many. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said, I don't want Mark. Mark's a failure. Mark's a flop. Mark, he deserted us when he should have been there. We can't trust him. We can't rely on him. I can't have him. But look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Thank God for this. I feel like Mark sometimes. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Paul says this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. What? He fell, but he got up. He fell, but whatever he did, Paul said, okay. Paul said one time, he said, hey, you can't trust him. You can't rely on him. But now he's saying, I can trust him now. Why? Because he got up. He washed the mud off. He washed the dirt off. He got up and he went on and he served God. He fell, but he didn't fail. And then we come to the last thing, and that's just you and I. We fall many times, but we don't have to fail. I look out at a group, and we've all fallen. You know, you got discouraged. You got upset this week. You blame God for something. You're upset with him. And now just get up. Okay, we've fallen. Oh, that old sin, that old thing. You know, it just pulls and pulls and it tugs at you. And I do understand because it's the same with me. I tell teenagers all the time, do you think somehow that we are really saints? We're tempted just like everybody else. And that old sin nature just pulls and pulls and the devil is constantly trying to get us to fall in a pit. It could be a pit of pride. You could be in that pit right now. Wallowing in the mud by saying, I never drank or smoked or done pornography or any of those kind of things. I'm not like all these people. Now you have a pride problem, huh? Wasn't that how we recognize the devil in the Bible? I. You see what I mean? Here's what we need to do, all right? First of all, realize you fall. Realize you fall. It'll change your life, honestly. There's folks in church all over the world, and they're in church today, and they sit thinking, I'm all right. I'm the exception. Isn't going to happen to me. Isn't going to affect me. My Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So realize you fall. Realize you are prone to fall. Realize it's going to happen if it isn't already happening right now. Realize you fall. Realize, number two, why you fall. Amen. Understand why. Okay? The Bible says here that lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Hey, understand, the wicked person, the devil, whatever, he's trying to get you to fall. Realize why you fall. Do you know the sin which doth so easily beset you? You should. Yeah, you do. You may not want to talk about it, but you do. Realize why you fall. Then realize the consequence of falling. You know, there are consequences of falling. It is not a good thing. Some, you know, it's almost like, I'm willing to pay the price. You don't have a clue what you're saying. You know, people that will sell out for pleasure and say, I know God's going to nail me, but I'm willing. You're nuts. Right. Realize the consequence of falling. Realize you don't have to fall. You can avoid that. You can do right. You don't have to. But if you do, get up. Get up and determine not to fall in this area ever again. Learn from falling. I mean, there are things that are temptations to me. There are things that are temptations to you. There are areas where I've fallen. Do you suppose the devil knows those areas? You better believe he does. Do you suppose he tells others those areas? He tempts in those areas where we have fallen before? You know, the devil cannot read your mind. He's not like God. He's not all-knowing like God is. He doesn't, but he can read your record. Amen. And he knows where you've fallen. And I got news for you. He's going to do everything he can, but learn from falling and get up and go on. You fall, but you don't have to fail. And so many of these, and so many in the Bible, in fact, everyone, every hero you have in the Bible, I just wrote down a few, they fell. But because they learned from falling, they ended up being a success, and thank God for that. A couple verses and we're done. Psalm 37. Psalms 37, verse 24. The Bible says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That is so awesome. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now look, get up and go on. It is the easiest thing in the world to just say, that's it. I just keep messing up. You don't know how many times as a pastor I counsel someone who says, well, I've done it again. I messed up again. Now it's over. It's not over. And many times I'll say, put your finger there on your wrist and see if your heart's still beating. Is it? Sometimes I'll say, see if there's any breath coming out of that mouth, and breathe on your hand. See, is there still breath there? Yeah. Heart still beating? Yeah. Get up. Just get up. Get up. Do not be so ready to die a failure. Do not give in to the temptation of quitting. When the just man falleth seven times, but he gets up. You get up, you go on, and you do what God wants you to do. You know, you understand, when we give up, something doesn't get done. Something doesn't get done. A Sunday school class doesn't get taught. A song doesn't get sung. Children don't get to have the right kind of parent. You name it. So many things don't get done. You fall? Great. Don't fail. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I wonder how many here today would say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now, I know that I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I know I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I'm the only one looking. Nobody else is looking. Thank you. God bless you. That's most of the folks here. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, "Preacher, I do not know that. If I were to die right now, I really am not sure whether I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? You say, "I do not know whether I'm saved. Please pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved." Anyone? Pray for me. Please pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart today as a Christian. God's dealing with me about something in my life, and I'd like you to pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over. Just slip it up. All over. Thank you. God bless you. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the Scripture and, Lord, the teaching about falling. And, God, everybody here can identify with it, whether we admit it or not. And yet, Lord, I pray that we would understand that when we fall, we don't have to fail. And we can get up, we can go on. And God, I want you to use me. And I know I fall. And I pray that you would just always be there to get me up and lift me up and help me and strengthen me to go on. I do not want to be a failure. Lord, I pray it'd be in the heart of everyone here that we hear the words, "Someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us not to fail you, God. Help us not to fail in our lives, with our families, with our class, with our ministry, whatever it is. Help us to fall but not fail. And strengthen us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. 322, 322, the invitational hymn. God speak into your heart as we sing "Living for Jesus." If you have a decision to make, do not hesitate. You come.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is a pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you need to come and pray about something, you say, "Well, you don't understand what I've done." Doesn't matter what you've done. You've fallen. Get up. Get up. Go on. Somebody's counting on you. Somebody's trusting in you. Those bus kids are trusting in you. Sunday school class, they're trusting you. They're counting on you. Your children, your grandkids, those family members, they don't need you down in that pit. All right, you did. All right, you fell. Get up. Go on. God's speaking to your heart. Amen. All right, look up this way. Tonight at 4:30, there will be ensemble practice, and then 5 o'clock. Pardon? And drama practice as well. Okay. So you'll still be able to do that. All right. So ensemble practice, drama practice for the cantata, and then choir. No 4th through 6th grade. There is 1st through 3rd grade choir, and teens will meet at 5, and men's prayer, ladies' prayer, all kinds of stuff at 5, church at 6, and don't forget Brother Eric Bowman will be here. We're excited about that, and that'll be a blessing, and I trust that you will be back for that. Make sure you meet the visitors and thank them for coming. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for your word and for the true examples that you've given to us, that both sides of life, the failures as well as successes. Lord, we thank you that even though we do fail or fall, we do not have to fail. Father, we pray that this message and encouragement that Pastor has given, a challenge to us today to go stand up and keep going, can be applied to many areas of our life. Young people, as they are endeavoring in their schoolwork and in sports, many times they fall. Help us not to fail. Help us to get up and work on a day-to-day basis, the things that go wrong. Help us to maintain a good testimony and not to fail, but to keep going. And Lord, in our Christian walk with you, in our life and our testimony amongst our neighbors and those with whom we have contact every day, we do have fallings. But again, Father, help us not to fail, but to go on and restore a relationship in our walk with you, and our testimony amongst those with whom we live. Guide us and direct us and empower us for this, Father, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.